Okay, we have with us Brian K. West from the Free Switch Project, who will be discussing NAT and Free Switch and VoIP and all those good things. So we're going to let Brian take it away.
All right, guys. I don't know. A lot of people seem to think NAT is the enemy. I think if you have an understanding of how NAT works and you have a really good understanding of SIP and RTP, you can overcome pretty much every issue that NAT causes. Now, in the beginning, when we first started FreeSwitch, we didn't have a lot of the NAT stuff in there. So if you wanted to have people that were that had clients that were behind NAT with you and clients that were outside of the NAT, you had to set up two profiles, one to speak to clients behind the NAT with you and one outside. So that was a very daunting task for a lot of people. It was confusing. It was not well documented. And what we had was it was pretty straightforward, but it was just too complex for some people. So I spent a lot of time, and basically what I did is I fixed it where you could have one profile in FreeSwitch that talks to clients that are behind the NAT with you and clients that are outside the NAT. And that presents a whole new set of problems, because now you have to keep track of where the request is coming from, and you have to have a list, an ACL, to tell, is this person behind NAT with me, or are they on the public internet? So that's what the NAT local network ACL is on the SOFIA profile. That is an ACL that determines how SOFIA is going to lie in the packets, or if it's going to lie at all. Normally, it's not going to. It's going to give the internal IPs, and it's just going to be talking to clients sitting behind the NAT with you, so that the VIA header uses the internal IP and the contact header uses the internal IP as well. So all of the IP addresses are all correct when you're talking to clients behind the NAT that are within that ACL that you've defined. Now, when you start talking to clients that are outside of the NAT, the request is going to be coming from outside the network. So you have to start looking about where this request is coming from. It's not within the ACL. So now you have to tell SOFIA to lie about the VIA header, the contact headers, and all the stuff that happens in the SIP packet so that all of the data is correct. The same way with the RTP IPs. So that's pretty much how we solve the problem in FreeSwitch. It still is a little more complex to set up in some scenarios, but most network scenarios, such as your home network where you have a UPnP, NAT-PNP router, those particular networks are just they'll just work. You don't even have to touch the config. But there are situations where you don't have UPnP, but you need to be able to lie dynamically like that. So you have to do things like, if you go look in your SOFIA config, there's an option in there that says external SIP IP and external RTP IP. Those are your public IPs. Now, for us to be able to flip the bit on to, say, dynamically lie about it, it's called AutoNAT. You have to prefix those with AutoNAT colon. What that does is that turns the flag on, just like the UPnP and NAT-PNP would, to dynamically tell the difference between when you're talking to a client that's sitting behind NAT with you versus one you're talking to outside the NAT. Now, when you do that, you don't get the added bonus of the UPnP and NAT-PNP poking the holes in the NAT for the media. So you have to take an extra step in those cases to open up and forward the media port, because we're actually going to correctly say the IP in the SDP and all of the SIP packets based on what you said in the local network ACL. Is everybody keeping up with me now, or am I going too fast?
No, you're okay. We're getting this recorded, and then we'll open it up for questions afterwards.
Okay. So that's the one way we solve that in FreeSwitch. Now, you can still have multiple profiles if you want. I mean, we have people that have a public interface with a profile setting on it and then a private interface with a profile, and using it as a sort of a session border controller. In those cases, there's no NAT translation involved. There's no NAT at all involved, because you have a call coming in public. There's nothing at all about private IPs. It comes through FreeSwitch, out the other profile, and the other interface. So that's the hard part. Now, the other thing you have to watch out for are clients that lie. And there's a lot of these out here that will send an invite to FreeSwitch with all kinds of jacked up IPs in there. And we do our best to overcome those. But there are some cases where you can't. It's, for example, if I'm sitting behind NAT and the far side FreeSwitch is behind NAT, and I send an invite to that FreeSwitch, and I put, say, some weird 10.0 address in the SDP, It's not going to auto-correct and auto-adjust until my phone starts sending packets to the free switch instance, and then it'll overcome that. But again, there are times where it can't. So for the most part, we try to overcome all of the media issues with auto-adjust and the various settings that we have that are just on by default. So does anybody have any questions so far? Before I get too far ahead.
Everything's good.
Ryan?
Yes.
Can I ask you a question?
You sure can.
Okay. What's the difference between the RTP-IP and the XRTP-IP related to NAT?
Between which IP and which IP now?
RTP-IP and XRTP-IP.
The RTP IP address and the external RTP IP.
Exactly. Thank you, Michael.
Okay. Those two settings are what IP to say in the SDP, depending on if the client is behind NAT with you or out on the public internet, so that the media can get back to you. Because if you've got to know those bits of data to tell the far end where to send its media, and that's what those settings are for.
Okay. Another question about STUN. STUN. Okay?
About what now? STUN.
STUN. STUN.
STUN.
STUN.
Okay, you can discover your public IP using STUN.
Yes, I know this, but I see several things. For example, STUN and ICE and TURN. What's the difference between these?
STUN will basically give you the ability to figure out your public IP and what kind of NAT you're sitting behind, because there are various types of NAT you can set behind. I don't have the list available. We do not support ICE or TURN right now. I do not have any experience with those two pieces of technology.
Okay. Thank you.
Oh, also, yeah, Mock mentioned something in IRC that this is pretty important. This is something anybody out there deploying FreeSwitch in an environment needs to be aware of. There are consumer-grade routers and commercial-grade. Even Juniper does this. Cisco does this. They have an application layer gateway in the router that actually modifies the SIP packets as they traverse the router. Now, the problem with this is they do it wrong. I have not ever encountered an ALG that actually functions properly. Now, the problem is they outsmart each other. So you can have a packet leaving FreeSwitch, setting behind NAT, behind an ALG, traverse the ALG, and it will flip the IPs back to the private IPs, completely reverse of what it should do. So now you have a packet going out on the public internet that's completely broken. And I've seen Cisco do this. So my recommendation usually is always to disable any SIP ALG and properly set the RTP, external RTP and external SIP IP settings in the SOFIA profile. That way you don't have to deal with the ALG. Now, there are some firewalls, like some of the Netgears, that don't have an off button. My recommendation is throw them in the trash and buy something that's not going to mess with your packets. Is there any other questions about ALGs?
Well, like I said in the channel also, if you have a problem with ALG and there is no way to disable it, you can always try TCP.
That is true. You can. Most ALGs usually only do UDP. And FreeSwitch does support, on Linux, it supports SCTP, TLS, TCP, and UDP. So you have four different transports to choose from.
Does it support different ones in Windows? Or?
Well, Windows, there is no SCTP support that I've never seen anybody try it.
Okay.
What about if your soft phone doesn't support TCP, only UDP?
Can you repeat that? You're kind of loud and overdriven, so it's hard to understand you sometimes. Okay. I do apologize.
What about of a soft phone that don't support TCP, only UDP?
A phone that doesn't support
TCP? A soft phone that does not support TCP?
Will you contact your vendor and beat them over the head with RFC? Because it actually says you must support both. But unfortunately, you are correct. There are devices and software that do skip and only do UDP. So you're kind of SOL if you're stuck with a device that can't do TCP in that case. The other
example,
thing you can do, the
can
other thing you
example.
Can't do, go ahead.
Yet client don't do TCP, can do only UDP.
What's the name of that client?
Type it in.
Type it in the
chat.
I am
sorry, I am not in ARC. I am in bed now.
Oh, no problem. Oh, that's right, because it's so late there.
But I think the only one that can understand me is Michael. Michael understand me very well. Yet is yet another telephone engine.
Oh, Yate.
Oh, Yate. Yes.
Yate okay. Doesn't do TCP?
Yes, only UDP.
Odd. Okay, I was not aware of that.
I did not know that either. Interesting.
For example, another open source telephone is the OpenSIP stake. The only UDP, no TCP.
Well, again, I would go to the authors of those and just beat them over the head with the RFC. I don't know. I'm a little bit bitter about RFCs because we get them thrown in our face all the time. And it's like, oh, if you actually wrote something that was 100% RFC compliant, it wouldn't work.
That's
so,
a big problem.
If you can't disable ALG, I think you can use only the external SIP IP and external LTP IP.
Well, in that case, no, the ALG is still going to mess with it. Your best bet then is possibly connecting to the other location with OpenVPN or something. But I want to give you a warning about using a VPN for VoIP. Do not use a TCP-based VPN tunnel.
Correct.
Because you're shoving UDP traffic down a reliable transport. If you lose one packet, then you'll have jitter, and it will go to hell real quick.
Yes, we found that out the hard way. The very hard way, yes.
It will work for the most part, yes. Don't get me wrong, it will work. But you start losing packets, that's when things go down.
Yeah, exactly. When it stops working, it fails spectacularly. So.
That is true, it does. So there's a lot of ways just to completely get around that. OpenVPN is one of them. I would really love to see some kind of automatic VPN connecting of free switch boxes by some, you know, somebody could write a script to do this, but I think it'd be an interesting thing or an experiment for somebody to do to connect and sort of automate the process of connecting two free switch boxes. Now, the other thing you can do to bust NAT is use IPv6. You can usually get a tunnel from a tunnel broker, and you can tunnel your way out and completely bypass NAT and the ALG in the process. Because we do support IPv6 on UDP, TCP, TLS, and SCTP as well. So those are options. So, and that works really well.
Very good. Any other NAT questions?
I'm going to answer this question on IRC right now about TURN.
Okay.
I've done some research on TURN and ICE. There's no implementation out there that's license compatible that we could just drop in and use. So until one exists or somebody funds writing a library that does TURN and ICE and all of these protocols that we could take advantage of, that's kind of the blocker right now. I'm always on the lookout for libraries that are, one, license compatible, and two, kind of in the area of things we want to do. Those are things that would be very interesting, I think. Unfortunately, a lot of devices that you would be speaking with don't support those. So it'd be great to go free switch to free switch with Sun, Turn, and Ice. But free switch to free switch already cuts through NAT like a hot knife through butter, no problems. So even when you don't have things configured correctly, it usually does the right thing. The biggest problem with NAT is when you're talking to some other device or some provider. That's when things go to hell.
What about PGNet?
PGNet?
Yes, from PGC.
It's not license compatible.
Okay.
It's GPLv3, I think, and commercial license. So, and I actually have contacted the author about that, and they're not willing to make an exception. So, you see, I do make an effort to contact everybody. If there's a library we want to use, we do contact and ask if there's, you know, we can get an exception or if they'll change their license to LGPL, things like that. We just don't have, we can't get them to do it always.
Excellent. Brian, thank you very much. We definitely appreciate all of those.
Okay, well, I'm going to hang in here. If anybody has any questions moving on, I'll be able to be here to answer them, but I'm going to have to mute for a little bit if that's okay.
Nope, no problem. Thank you, Brian.
You're welcome.